Well, our speaker this morning says he once considered the Bible the most boring book that was ever written. And he couldn't imagine that he would spend his life explaining it. And now he has spoken in almost every state, some 60 foreign locations. He and his wife now live in Dallas, Texas, his wife Tammy, where he founded and is now the CEO of Evantel, a global ministry that is devoted to communicating the most important message in the Bible. He's also an author and written a number of things that relate to that important topic. He's also been a teacher at a variety of schools, and it's where I was able to first really understand communicating this message when I was back in seminary many years ago. And he's been a mentor and a friend to me as well. Larry has a unique ability to relate to us where we're at, and has a real passion for communicating this message. This morning, he's going to be sharing on the interesting topic of why does anyone need religion when you already have so many other problems? All right? If that intrigues you, welcome, Dr. Larry Moyer. Good to have you.
Thank you. Well, good morning. It's an honor and delight to be here with all of you. As some of you know, I was born and raised on a dairy farm in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And although I now live in Dallas, Texas, I enjoy getting back in the northern part of our nation in the farm country of Wisconsin. And it's such a delight to be here with you. I sincerely appreciate the friendship I've had for more than 40 years now with Sid and his wife, Priscilla. And I also appreciate the awfully simple and to-the-point introduction that Sid gave me. When you travel as a speaker, you get every introduction under the sun, but they're not always good news. My favorite one of all time is I was speaking for a week-long conference up in Michigan, and the pastor got up on opening night. What he actually wanted to say to people was, when Larry came here on Saturday, he'll be here all week, we're looking forward to that, then he'll be leaving us next Saturday. But it was a pastor who had a reputation for getting tongue-tied in the pulpit. And sure enough, he introduced me. What he said at the packed house was, Larry came here on Saturday, he'll be here all week. He's leaving us next Saturday, and we're looking forward to that. So I sincerely appreciate all the kind production. But although this is the second time I've been to your church, I need to tell you that the first time was in August of 1987. That means it's taken the church 28 years to recover from that message. So please don't say I did not warn you, but it's such a delight to have the time with you. I tell people everywhere I go, there's no one who steps on a platform anywhere in the United States of America any more grateful to God than I do, because I never had the time to give my life story. But I was born with an inherited speech defect, inherited from my dad's side of the family, that was so severe I could not pronounce the word T-H-E, the, and therefore medical doctors told me to give up all hope of ever being a public speaker. One day, sitting in high school with my head between my hands so no one could see I was crying, because I had just been ridiculed what seemed like the 500th time, I told God, if you'll help me with this defect, I will always use my voice for you. Starting that week, I started to have a control I'd never had in my entire life. And that was the year speech therapy brought me to where I am today. But when you come from that kind of background where there's an inherited problem you can't do a thing about, and God takes control of your tongue, you never take one opportunity for granted. It does not matter if it's 5 people or 50,000. It's such a delight to have this time with you. But this morning, I would like to ask and answer a question. I have found when people think in terms of spiritual things, it's one of the first questions that comes to their mind. I'd like to ask and answer the question, why does anyone need religion when you already have so many other problems? And if you have your Bible, I'd like you to take it and turn with me to three of the most exciting sentences that you will ever come across in the Bible. They're found in the second part of the Bible, that part called the New Testament, the first book, the book called Matthew, chapter 11. I'd like to start reading at the 28th verse. Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 28. If you don't have a Bible with you, may I encourage you to look on someone's near you. If you have two Bibles, like a husband and wife, may I encourage you to glance around you. If somebody does not have a Bible, be so kind to take one of yours and share with them. I always want people to leave knowing where God said first, what I'm only going to repeat. So when you have a Bible in front of you, turn to me, Matthew chapter 11. I'd like to start reading at the 28th verse. Matthew chapter 11, and beginning at verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Every single one of us have them. Now, some of us have more than others. And some of us feel like every time they come in a giant-sized package. But every single one of us have them. Now, the simple thing I am referring to is a serious thing called problem. In fact, some of us have so many problems. The pulling in the driveway at night is no easier than backing out in the morning. Crawling underneath the covers is no easier than crawling out. In fact, Reader's Digest one time told about a man that every night got home from work, as soon as he hit the door, his wife would hit him with the calamities of the day. And one night he said to her, honey, before you hit me with everything that's gone wrong, could you at least let me sit down and enjoy a good night's meal? And the next night, as soon as he walked in the house, his wife looked at him and said, honey, hurry up and eat. I have something terrible to tell you. But now, if you were to ask the average person, what is your biggest problem? They'll tell you they're having problems in one of all of four different areas. There's, first of all, problems with the family, problems with the parents, problems with the children, problems with the marriage, problems with the in-laws, problems with the outlaws. In fact, some of us have so many problems in the area of our family. We feel like they've been there from day one. I love the story of the husband and wife that were on the way through a honeymoon. And he looked at her and said, honey, now since we are married, I hope you don't mind if I point out a few defects I have noticed about you. She said, not at all. It was those same defects that kept me from getting a better husband. And even though we've been to all kinds of seminars, read all kinds of books, and talked to all kinds of people, the problem still seemed to be there. There are husbands and wives sitting here today that could identify with a husband and wife that are walking out of the office of the marriage counselor. And she looked at him and she said, now since we have learned how to communicate, back off. But a second place where people tell you you're having problems is in the area of finances. Now the way you spell that is M-O-N-E-Y, money. A man one time made the comment, when I was young, I used to think that money was the most important thing in life. Now that I'm older, I know it is. It's interesting to me that the youngest son of Bing Crosby, by his first marriage, committed suicide in an apartment in California at the age of 51. And the apparent reason was he had just found out his mother's inheritance would no longer be coming to him. And a person who knew the situation well made the comment, he just couldn't face the future without money. But a third place where people tell you on the problem is in the area of job. Don't like the work, don't like the workers, can't stand the business, can't stand the boss. In fact, a survey revealed some time ago that 50% of all Americans are very dissatisfied with their jobs. I love the story of the first grade school teacher that saw her first grader crying to no end. And she walked up to him, tenderly knelt in front of him, wiped the tear from his cheeks, and she said, honey, what's wrong? And he said, I don't like this place. I gotta stay here till I'm 18. And she started to cry. And he said, what's wrong with you? And she said, I don't like it either. I gotta stay till I'm 65. But a fourth place where people have a problem is in the area of personal circumstances. By that I mean their temptations they have not been able to avoid. Habits they have not been able to quit. Ones that are wrecking their lives, destroying their marriages, and making them feel absolutely worthless. It's interesting to me that in Leningrad, Russia, there's a statue of Ivan the Terrible with his arm put up, urging his country forward, and he was known as the Tsar of all Tsars. But he was so given the fits of anger that one time in one of those outbursts, he killed his own son. And when he came to the end of his life, he said, I've conquered all kinds of empires. but I've never learned how to conquer myself. And for that reason, I would say, please, don't bother me with religion, because I've got all the problems I need. Because when they think of Christ, they think of religion. And they have two basic reactions. On the one hand, they feel it's absolutely boring, because some feel all you do is go to a dead church to see sad people, listen to a boring preacher talk about a pitiful subject. In fact, one time a pastor called a woman who had not been to church for some time. He said, "Where have you been?" And she said, "Well, you know how it is. The kids have been sick." And then it just rained, 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 rained. And he said, "Well, you ought to come to church. It's always dry there." She said, "Yes, in fact, that's another reason I've not been coming. It's just so dry there." Some time ago, I went out with some teenagers in a major city. And we asked people the question, when you think of church, what do you think of? The four biggest reactions we got were God, Jesus, buildings, and boring. But a second reaction people have is, it's absolutely frustrating. Because most of us work on the basis that in order to get to heaven, you have to be good. So, you better watch out, you better not pout, you better not cry, I'm telling you why. You just might not get to heaven if you do. And what is so frustrating, we feel it does not matter how good you have been, you'll probably never be good enough. Some time ago, a Houston newspaper told about a woman who was received the Safe Driving Award for outstanding years of safety as a bus driver. When her colleagues found out about it, they were so excited. They asked her, "Will you drive us to the award ceremony?" On the way to the award ceremony, probably out of excitement, she turned the corner too sharp, the bus overturned, and 16 people had to be treated for minor injuries. When the award ceremony found out about it, they canceled her award. And we feel that's what's so frustrating, it does not matter how good you've been, you'll probably never be good enough. And for that reason, I rose and say, please, don't bother me with religion. I have all the problems I need. Some time ago, well-known personality, Ted Turner, stood up in an audience and he made the comment, "The further I got from religion, the better off I was." And the place broke up in applause. Well, this morning, I have something awfully exciting to tell you. That Christ said to people that were just as frustrated as some people in 2015 are. And that is, if you come to Christ, you'll find rest instead of religion. Well, you notice how he starts there in verse 28. "Come to me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, the only thing I regret is you cannot hear him say, "Come to me," instead of hearing me say it. So you would know how much love there is behind those words. Because some of us have had more people tell us to leave than have ever had tell us to come. In fact, some time ago, I was in a fast food restaurant. A man walked in rather poorly dressed, needed a light for a cigarette. Seeing a woman with a cigarette lighter, he walked over to her and said, "May I have a light?" She lit his cigarette, and then she said, "Now get out of here." Husbands have told wives to leave. Wives have told husbands to leave. Parents have told children to leave. Children have told parents to leave. But Christ says, "Come to me." Look again at verse 28. "Come to me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, why does he say, "all you labor and heavy laden"? Because in this context, he has talked to people who are fed up with religion because of two groups of people, known as the proud Pharisees and the sad Sadducees, who had all kinds of regulations to follow to be accepted by God. They said, you could not talk to women in the street. Nope, not even your own wife. They said, if you throw a piece of fruit up in the air with your right hand, and while it's in the air, the Sabbath comes in, when it comes down, you better catch with the same hand you threw it up. Otherwise, you have worked and you have broken the Sabbath. Now, doesn't that sound like a fruity idea? They said, on certain days, you couldn't hit your ducky with a whip. And I promise you, had you been living that day, you not felt like hitting a ducky with a whip. It felt like hitting a Pharisee with a donkey. And they had all kinds of regulations to follow to be accepted by God. But you might be saying, but Larry, that's exactly how I feel. All it is a bunch of regulations, a list of do's and don'ts. The way we expressed it when I was a teenager was, you cannot drink, you cannot chew. You dare not go with the girls who do. On the one hand, we feel you have to go to church. And for life, we can't figure out, why don't you feel any different when you leave than when you come in? And furthermore, deep down in the pit of our stomach, we know we'd have a better life without going to church than many of those who go. We feel you have to keep the Ten Commandments. And the first problem a lot of people have is they don't have the foggiest idea what they are. In fact, one time some young people were asked, can anyone give me one of the Ten Commandments only contain four words? One boy stood up and said, yes, keep off the grass. The Bible is saying, whatever your frustration, whatever you discuss, come to me. Look again at verse 28. Come to me, all you labor and laminated, and I will give you rest. Now, why does he say, and I will give you rest? Because there's something he wants everybody here to understand. And that is, eternal life is free. You don't get heaven by going to church, living good, being baptized, keeping commandments, or taking sacraments. You can live a better life than you feel your neighbor lives, or a better life than you feel the Pope lives. That will not get you to heaven. You go to church two Sundays a year, Christmas and Easter. You can stay home two Sundays and go to the rest. That will not get you to heaven. You can give God one-tenth of everything you make, or you can keep one-tenth and give the rest to Him. Then that will not get you to heaven. Because all of us have sinned, and the punishment for that sin is death. But what the Bible is saying is, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, came in the world. He took your sin and my sin, your wrong and my wrong, placed upon himself. He died in our place. He was our substitute. They punished him where they should have punished us. And he saved us by dying for us. Some time ago in North Carolina, an 11-year-old boy got in big trouble in a lake. Two men saw him. They rushed out to him, and they got in trouble. An expert swimmer who was on the shore saw it all happen. First of all, he swam out to two men, got them to shore. Then he went back to that 11-year-old boy and got him to shore. But just as he gave him that one last push that took him all the way to shore, probably out of fatigue, and the small amount of current in the lake, it pulled the man underneath, and he died. But he saved those others by dying for him. He died in their place. The Bible is saying Jesus Christ came in the world. He took your sin and my sin, placed upon himself. He died in our place. He was our substitute and rose again the third day. And that's why you cannot get to heaven, by going to church, living good, being baptized. Because the price for your sin has already been taken. He took it. When 2,000 years ago, he died in our place. And all you can do is come to him as a sinner, recognize Christ died for you, and put your trust in him alone, nothing else, as your only way to heaven. And the moment you do, God gives you eternal life as a free gift. And that's why Christ so simply said, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Some time ago, I spoke in Longmont, Colorado. A couple owned a bookstore who knew how much I loved to read said to me, we want you to go into that bookstore, pick out $75 worth of books, and they're yours free. And when I went in that bookstore, all I could do was receive a gift. The price had already been paid. If you want to live forever, you have to receive it as a gift, because the price has already been paid. And that's why Christ said in verse 28, come to me, all you labor and laden, and I will give you rest. Because the moment you put your trust in Christ alone, you're in the realm, you know beyond any shadow of any doubt, you're going straight to heaven when you die. And that is most relaxing life known to man. In fact, the word rest there actually means relief. You don't have to get up in the morning and say, where would I go if I died right now? You don't have to pass a car accident and say, what if it happened to me? You can read that one out of every four families is being struck with cancer and does not have to unnerve you. Because the moment you trust Christ, you know beyond the shadow of any doubt, you're going straight to heaven when you die. And that's the most relaxing life known command. That is relief. Capital R, capital E, capital L, capital I, capital E, capital F. And the interesting thing is, God in kindness I do not deserve has allowed me to speak in almost every state, over 60 foreign locations. I've seen people going in and out of all kinds of temples. I have never heard one of them say, I know I'm going to heaven. Christ said, come to me, and I will give you rest. If you come to Christ, you'll find rest instead of religion. For the first time ever, you know, you're going straight to heaven when you die. Not based on what you've done for him, based on what he did for you. And that's the most relaxing life known to man. That is relief. If you come to Christ, you'll find rest instead of religion. But then you're saying, but then Larry, why try to do what's right? Why go to church? Why try to live a good life? Would you believe that's the next thing he addresses? Look at verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. The word yoke referred to a wooden frame that was placed upon the shoulders that made a load easier to bear. And in this context, he's referring his instructions in how to live a life honoring to God. So first thing you might need to do is come to him. Receive completely free the gift of life eternal. Then he's inviting you to learn more about him. He says that. Look in verse 49. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. As you learn from him, he'll show you how to live a life of fulfillment instead of frustration. How to put in your life what should be there and take out what should not be there. And the exciting thing is when you're learning from Christ, you're learning from someone who's gentle and lowly in heart. Look at verse 29 again. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. In other words, he is humble instead of haughty. Some time ago, I spoke in South Dakota. On the way back, the plane connected in Denver. And when it did, a movie star that all of you know stepped on the plane. As soon as he did, in a very haughty and high-minded way, he said, hello, all you fellow Americans. I was so turned off by his arrogance that although I knew who he was, I felt like saying, hello, whoever you are. Do you know how exciting it is to learn from someone like that? It's just about as exciting as taking your mother-in-law along on your honeymoon. When you learn from Christ, you're learning from someone who's gentle and lowly in heart. And that's why verse 30 says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. First of all you're doing is responding to the one who gave you the free gift of eternal life. That's not hard to do. And secondly, the whole time he's showing you how to live, he's right in there helping you live. And that's why verse 30 says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And that's why living poor becomes a relationship, not regulation. Life, not law. It's delight, not duty. When you do wrong, he's sympathetic and understanding. He's not like the policeman who saw a car parked by a fire hydrant. And he noticed they had a just married sign on the back. So he gave him two tickets. One marked his, the other marked hers. No, one of the biggest problems I had before I came to Christ, I'll just be completely honest. I had one fierce temper. They never had to have a stove around the house before I came to Christ. They just got me mad. I could cook anything. One year I cooked a Thanksgiving turkey in 10 minutes. But when I came to Christ, he told me how to take one day at a time and not get so ticked off if life did not go my way. Some of us are so anxious, so worried. Worried about the future. Worried about the finances. Worried about the children. Worried about the job. Like a woman who had a man say to her, will you marry me? And she said, I don't marry anyone unless they make at least $50,000 a year. How much did you make last year? He said, I made $10,000 the whole year. She said, that's close enough. When you come to Christ, he showed you how to take all those problems push him on his shoulders, and his shoulders are so much bigger than yours. And again, that's why he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And all he's saying is, if you come to Christ, you'll find rest instead of religion. For the first time ever, you know you're going straight to heaven when you die. And that is the most relaxing life known to man. That is relief. Jump up every morning, absent here, present there. That is relief. And as you learn more about him, he, in that gentle, lowly, humble, attractive way, shows you how to live life for fulfillment instead of frustration. How putting your life what should be there, take out what should not be there. And that's why living for him becomes a delight, not a duty. Relationship, not regulation. Life, not law. If you come to Christ, you'll find rest instead of religion. And that's why if you throw away religion, you have not made any mistake. You ought to receive the Congressional Medal of Honor. But if you throw away Jesus Christ, you have made the biggest mistake of living. We have an advertisement today that goes like this. How do you spell relief? The answer is Rolaids. To the fed up religion, Christ says, how do you spell relief? J-E-S-U-S. C-H-R-I-S-T. If you come to Christ, you'll find rest instead of religion. First time in your life, you know you're going straight to heaven when you die. That's relief. The most relaxing life known to man. Then as you learn more about him, he in that gentle and lowly way will show you how to live a life of fulfillment instead of frustration. How to put in your life what should be there and take out what should not be there. And the whole time he's showing you how to live, he's right in there helping you live. And that's why he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. If you come to Christ, you'll find rest instead of religion. Some years ago, a few of you might remember reading about it, because it made the national news. A woman driving home on the East Coast on the expressway looked through her rearview mirror and saw one big truck right on her bumper. Recognizing that's too close, she sped up, only have the truck speed right up behind her, keeping right on her bumper. She sped up again, only have the truck speed right up behind her, keeping right on her bumper. She sped up again, only have the truck speed right up behind her, keeping right on her bumper. Sped up again, only have the truck speed right behind her, keeping right on her bumper. At this point, starting to panic, she headed for the nearest exit on the expressway. Only have the truck driver head off the expressway with her, keeping right on her bumper. She drove in the nearest convenience store she could find. Only have the truck driver drive in the convenience store with her, keeping right on her bumper. She jumped out of that car, and as fast as her legs would carry her, she ran in that store. Only have the truck driver jumped out of his truck, and as fast as his leg would carry him, run to the back door of her car and pull from it a long, sought-after rapist. What he could see from his elevated position she couldn't, he would just hunker down there, waiting for a chance to make his attack. And she thought he was out to harm, he was only out to help. You may be here and you may feel like religion has done you a lot of harm. And for all I know, it has. Religion has harmed a whole lot of people. But Jesus Christ is not out to harm. He's out to help. If you come to Christ, you'll find rest instead of religion. For the first time ever, you know you're going straight to heaven when you die. And that's why the Bible says for those who know Christ, the day of your death is better than the day of your birth. That's the most relaxing life known to man. Then as you learn more about him, he in that humble, attractive way will show you how to live life for fulfillment instead of frustration. How to put in your life what should be there and take out what should not be there. And that's why living poor becomes a powerful yes, not a negative no. If you come to Christ, you're finding rest instead of religion. If you understand what this paragraph is saying, you now know why. God, again, in kindness I do not deserve, has allowed me to speak in almost every state over 60 foreign occasions. I have met people by the thousands who have said to me, the one thing I regret in life is I did not come to Christ sooner than I did. I have not met one soul on earth who ever said to me, I am sorry I came to Christ. Not one. Now you know why. If you come to Christ, you'll find rest instead of religion. Let's bow our heads and even our hearts, so to speak, in prayer. Would you pray with me? This morning, as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, I want to ask every person here the most important question a friend could ever ask. I hope I can call myself your friend. If you were to die right now, not tonight, right now, do you know, not think no, beyond any doubt, you go straight to heaven? If you were to die right now, do you know beyond any data, shadow of any doubt, he goes straight to heaven? I'm convinced there are those of us here who would say, Larry, I'm not sure I ever understood this before. Nobody explained it quite the way you did today. You know what's exciting? I mean exciting. You could trust Christ right there, right now. Right there we are. Jesus Christ could become your personal Savior. In a moment, I'm going to say a prayer. Kind of pray to you. If right now you want to tell God you're trusting Christ. Now, saying this prayer does not save. It's trusting Christ that saves. Prayer is only how you tell God what you're doing. But if right now you want to trust Christ, this is how you can tell God that. Just in the quietness of your heart, the privacy of your chair. Dear God, I come to you now, and I admit to you that I'm a sinner. Go ahead, tell God that. I admit I'm a sinner. As a sinner, I deserve eternal separation from God. Tell God that. As a sinner, I deserve eternal separation from you. But I now understand, Jesus Christ died for me. Tell God that. He took my place and punishment and rose again the third day. Tell God that. And right now, God, sitting in this chair today, I place my trust in Christ alone. As my only way to heaven. I trust you as my personal Savior. Thank you for the free gift of eternal life. I right this moment receive. Now, as heads are bowed, eyes are closed, may I say two things. If you sat there in the quietness of your seat and sincerely trusted Christ, the Bible, not me, the Bible says, God just gave you free the gift of eternal life. Everything from this moment on ought to be a thank you letter to God for what he just did for you. May I encourage you, live the rest of your life as a thank you letter to God. Week by week and month by month, then take out of your life what should not be there and put in what should be there. And secondly, don't be ashamed or embarrassed to tell anybody, I trusted Christ today. When Christ died on the cross, he's not ashamed of you. Don't be ashamed to tell anybody, I trust to Christ today as my personal Savior. Live the rest of your life as a thank you letter to God. And don't be ashamed to tell anybody, I trust to Christ today as my personal Savior. He was not ashamed of you. I beg you, be ashamed of him. Our gracious Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That when you devised the way to heaven, you were so loving not to ask for our advice. Because we would have made it so difficult and complicated. But you, loving in a way we've never understood love, made it so simple where once you can come. Lord, we pray for those who trust you today. Help them not to be ashamed to say so. And could the rest of their life be a thank you letter addressed to you. And Lord, for those of us who have known you for some time, could you remind us that the only thing we can take with us to heaven is a friend? Instead of living 2015 for all the stuff that 100 years from now is not even going to matter, help us live it for the people who do. For we ask in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. May I ask all of you to do something right now? It would be a splendid help for those that made this special Sunday possible. When you come in, you should have received a card that looks like this, called a communication card. What's so helpful a day like this? You know, how many were here, where they were from, what age to represent. Would you be so kind to take a moment right now and fill out that card? Not one per couple, but one per person. Even if you were there last night, today's a different service. Just take a moment and fill one of those out. If you need a pen or a pencil, someone alongside will loan you theirs. If you did not get one of these, just hold up your hand right now, and they'll come get one of these to you. So if you did not get one, just hold up your hand. Several here have missed one, and they'll get one of these to you. And just take a moment and fill one out. Please don't miss what I'm going to say next. It's so important. If you trusted Christ today, say, Larry, I don't think I've understood this before. I trusted Christ today, and I meant it. Would you put a check mark in the upper right-hand corner? So we can see you get a copy of a book I wrote just for you, 31 Days to Living as a New Believer. The 31 things I wish you'd have told me when I came to Christ, I'd have taken off like a rocket. So if you trusted Christ today, you say, Larry, I don't think I've ever understood this before. I trusted Christ today. Put a check mark in the upper right-hand corner so we can see you get a copy of the book, 31 Days to Living as a New Believer. But just take a moment and fill one of those out again, not one per couple, but one per person. Again, if you did not get one, just hold up your hand. You need a pen or pencil, someone alongside you will loan you theirs. Now, you'll notice there's a line on the card that says, are you able to own a firearm? The reason that question is that your pastor is one of the most generous and giving people I've ever met. And if you don't own a firearm and would like one, he'd like to buy you one as a belated Christmas gift. But no, in all seriousness, that's there because of our door prize last night. You can't ignore that line. But just take a moment and fill that card again, that one per cup, one per person. May I say it again? If you trusted Christ today, say, Larry, I don't think I've understood this before. I trusted Christ today. Put a check mark in the upper right-hand corner so we can see you get a copy of the book, 31 Days Living as a New Believer, help you start growing as a Christian. Once you've done that, turn the cards upside down and pass them to the aisle. And the men are now coming back to collect those after the final song. So just turn them upside down, pass them the aisle, and the men are coming now to collect them. But thank you for helping us to help you in that way.